Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And so our phone lines are live and open if you want to call. And I might have some reasons for you to call today, but this show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org. You can go to that site as well as the mobistrippress.com and find a plethora of information regarding what it takes to save our Constitution and our Republic. And it is worth saving, and it is in threat because there's just way too much evidence that people do not realize what we are facing. And I'll get into that, as a matter of fact. But let me give you three top reasons why you want to download our podcast. First off, this is the only show on air anywhere, on any format, any type of program, whether it be radio, TV, what have you, that is actually and asserts the constitutional solution to our federal government overreach. Secondly, the content on this show will refer to content in previous shows and keeping up to date in content and context. Downloading these will help you and gain a better perspective regarding past and future shows. Third, bear in mind and be conscious of the fact that the content on this show is really not perishable or ephemeral or temporary. It is something that will stand the test of time. So don't forget, the podcasts are available on reclaimingtherepublic.org, and just look for the Red State Radio podcast. Let me point out the importance of my presentation on Reclaiming the Republic. If, you know, I'm offering it out there, if you have a group or if you have some friends, some other patriots or what have you, watch it yourself first, screen it. And I would say you could do a showing. Whether you put that on your TV, put that on a projector in a room, get a bunch of people together and get them informed regarding our Constitution. This is truly an academic presentation on what the Constitution is, what our problems are, and how it's become perverted by politicians, lawyers, bureaucrats, and so forth, and what you need to do, or what we all need to do, if we're going to save our Constitution and Republic. And so I just ask that you go to the reclaimingtherepublic.org and just go to the Take Action page, and you will find that link right underneath the presentations. By all means, download those presentations as well. Go through them, read them, and do the presentations yourself. If you want me to come out, it costs money to do that. It's not like I'm trying to have a huge honorarium. You know, I'm not Bill Clinton. It's going to cost you millions of dollars. But there is some travel costs because I can't necessarily subsidize the entire war here. And nor did Washington subsidize the entire war. He may have donated his time, but he was actually compensated for every expense that he incurred. And so, just for what it's worth, there needs to be some form of cost if you want me to come out. Unless you're local, I'd be happy to come and do the driving if it's a reasonable distance and so forth. I'd be happy to come out to your group and present Reclaiming the Republic, the only solution, as well as the process or the strategy of how we can initiate this. Getting this word out and getting people involved is going to require some advertising and marketing that we're going to have to do in the normal media genre and our milieu. And so what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to do some crowdfunding because, again, I can't subsidize this entire war. This is going to cost money. As a matter of fact, I actually quantified the price in one of my previous presentations years ago, because I just basically said, okay, if somebody's going to give me a blank check, how much would it cost for me to literally do what needed to be done to get this ball rolling and to actually get states on board and to create the organization to where, you know, I wouldn't have to worry about the cost of doing anything. And it was about $9 million to operate for 2 years with national broadcasting and commercials, you know, through different networks and so forth. But $9 million may be a lot of money, but that's nothing compared to the elections. As a matter of fact, just a single senator election is far greater than that. In electing a corrupt senator to go and sell our republic downstream, there is far more money involved in that. And so I just ask you to contrast and compare what it would take to save the republic in contrast to what people are paying to sell out our republic. That's something to think about. Well, anyway, I know I've upset the folks at Facebook, and so I like to call them the Facebook Politburo. So if you want to go out on Facebook and send me a friend request and like my Mobius Strip Press page as well as my Reclaiming the Republic page, I have a Reclaiming the Republic group. It is for anybody that wants to join, but it's, the focus of that is really for those who are seeking office or who are legislators in a particular state. It doesn't matter which. It is really to create a forum of open ideas and hurdles that they're having to deal with in building a coalition and getting their states moving towards calling for an audit and republic review. That being said, I think there was an album or a song about the revolution will not be televised. I am telling you, we are going to televise and broadcast. If you want to call this a revolution, I don't. I just call it a process of restoring and or reconstituting our hybrid constitutional republic. And so I use that term a lot. And as a matter of fact, I put that in a recent article that I'll tell you about in a second. But why do I use the term hybrid constitutional republic? Well, you're probably going, well, that's a good question. Why? Well, so a constitutional republic just means very specifically that we've created a federated system, at least in the facade or in the face of what people look at our government. Well, we've got a federal government. But actually, it's a hybrid because we only delegated very defined and specific powers in a true federal government and a federation instead of a confederation. The delegation of power from the states or the external entities to the republic, they literally delegate a lot more power to that federation or that federal government, and that federal government truly becomes the sovereign. Just like in Rome, the Senate became the sovereign until they abdicated their responsibility to Caesar. So the sovereigns were the Senate. And in this particular case, in the generic sense of a republic or a constitutional republic, the federal government would be the sovereign and the ultimate sovereign. However, that is not the case. In our case, we actually retained the Confederacy, where each state maintained its own sovereignty and the people retained the greatest sovereignty. And therefore, in doing so, we actually created a hybrid of having a federation and a confederation, where the states were free to be able to do all things that were not delegated to the federal government. However, our jealous federal government was never content and happy enough with the few powers that it had and the few responsibilities, roles, and so forth that we delegated to it. And what they ended up doing was they ended up usurping many of the state's property. And when I say property, I mean their roles, responsibilities, and powers. Because in context to their paradigm back then, even one's conscientious thought and one's ability to think and express was considered property, as I've read before. And I know I need to go back and reread that because I never did finish that. That said, I'm up at a hard break, so I will be right back after a few words from our sponsors. So thank you very much, and we'll be right back after the break. We'll be right back. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Hey folks, it's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I have learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Vaughn Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money on just any good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist like Dr. Vaughn Tracy. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Vaughn Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I ask you to give Dr. Vaughn Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And that typical dialogue, or at least the bait I try to create dialogue with you, is that good old religious freedom discussion. Does the Constitution protect religious freedom? I know that there are lots of paradigms, and I do know that that has been the progressive agenda in creating this concept of religious freedom. And so I would love to have somebody call in and give me their thoughts on this. and what the framers' intent was in the First Amendment. But that being said, I will just let the bait still lay out there, and hopefully someday we'll call in and we'll actually have the dialogue so I can move on to maybe some more bait for you. But it's not bait that I'm trying to make myself feel better, and I don't want you to feel intimidated, because we've all been inculcated or brainwashed by the national secular education system, which is basically an instrument of the national secular church. I know that has the smacks of a conspiracy theory, but bottom line, when the Fabian Society, and you need to do the research on this, the Fabian Society penetrated our education system, and they were following the plan that was literally, so I've said this before, Plato wrote the script and the play, you know, how to play out a move towards creating the ultimate state, where the state controls all things for those people who want to subjugate their people. And so if you read his Republic, that is the first time that communism or statism was documented or committed to print. And so when we look at the Communist Manifesto, that is just a regurgitation with a lot of Marx and Engels spin on what Plato had put into his Republic. Now, a caller and listener made note that, you know, Plato really did not delineate a republic. As a matter of fact, it had really nothing to do with republicanism. It was just his idea of the perfect form of the statist government in using and actually he doesn't even really talk about republicanism at all in that. He just really talks about, you know, the integral parts that are necessary in empowering this statist government. Anyway, let me just move on to the next topic here. I noticed that there are American Samoans that are suing for citizenship, and I think that's great because they are a territory of the United States. But I truly believe that they're putting the cart in front of the horse, or they're serving themselves first before they're serving their posterity and, you know, all the constituents of the American Samoa. And what I mean by that is I personally believe that they should be pursuing becoming a state instead of just maintaining their status as a territory. See, one of the things that happens when you become a state is you actually have to change your, you know, language, your official language. Even though we don't have an official language, I truly believe that the initial states, and you got to go back into what happened with the West and so forth. And keep in mind that the official language of California, because California, when it drafted its constitution, it clearly stated that its official language in its constitution is English. And so it boggles my mind why California even prints out any other form of language for anybody that happens to be, you know, be receiving or obtaining any government documents. They should be maintaining and holding the line that English is the official language, and that's all they should be publishing and printing. It's nice that they accommodate, but that comes at an expense. And when you're in the red, you should have to, you shouldn't be spending money on things that are not necessarily necessary. And in other words, you should be forcing your those who are living there, guests or what have you, to actually learn to speak and read English if they want to stay in California or any of the states. So anyway, I just truly believe that the Samoans are putting the cart in front of the horse who are suing for their citizenship, that what they should be doing is pursuing statehood. That would resolve a lot of their problems, and I think that would literally change their paradigm. The same thing with the American Virgin Islands, as well as a lot of the other territories that we have. There should be states, because how great would it be to have a Samoan representative in Congress and Samoan senators? How great would it be to have the Virgin Island folks doing that? Are we ready to do that? So most people don't understand, but I want you to start thinking about what would happen to the landscape if all of a sudden we started expanding the amount of states we have. Why are we confined to 50? That's why I'm a huge proponent, and I think I've talked about this before, that Washington, Oregon, California, and many other states start reducing their size down to more manageable republics, the Dakotas as well. And so the Senate will bloom, and as a matter of fact, if we start adhering to the Constitution, what does the Constitution say we're supposed to have for representation? And where is the amendment that changes the representation of the people? Where is that? Because I believe if you read the Constitution, you're supposed to have a representative for every 30,000 people, citizens. And actually, back in those days, it was handled a little bit differently of who was citizens and so forth and who was represented. But anyway, that being said, I think that we need to start looking at the grander intent of the United States Constitution instead of how they have changed and manipulated it into meeting their oligarchy and needs. Because in the grand scheme of things, when you look at Congress, when you have just a select few that are the controllers of that purse, they become pretty powerful. And the more you throw in there, because if we were adhering to the Constitution, I think we'd probably have a lot more congressmen. I think if you do 30,000 by the 330 million, what is that? A few thousand, I think, at least, of representatives. And so what would Congress then have to do? And as a matter of fact, I was talking to some people just yesterday. If you put it into perspective what Madison and Jefferson and the framers were doing, they could not fathom the communications that we deal today. One of the reasons why sessions were done the way they were and so forth, and why they couldn't create the barriers necessary, was because they did not have the form of communication and the ability to travel and so forth. And we need to really be looking at how our existing Constitution fits into today's paradigm, into today's technology and structure and so forth for infrastructure and all of that. Another thing, I've got just a few seconds, but I want to get this out. Poland, there seems to be an agreement on a missile cell there. And I think I've touched this before. I have a rough and a doable design that would obsolete all missile systems. In other words, your concerns and worries about somebody reaching out and hitting us with a nuclear missile or any kind of conventional missiles would become obsolete. You would never have to worry about that again. And as a matter of fact, I know I have some contact information reaching out to the Trump administration, and I've been asked to do that. And so I think I'm going to make that a priority, because we're spending way too much money on the, you know, existing and integrating and upgrading and improving our missile systems, missile defense, when we could actually create a system that would, like I said, it would obsolete all types of intercontinental and any type of ballistic missile systems and those types of threats. Wouldn't that be great? Anyway, we're at hard break, and we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcasts. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academe has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Oh, I also wanted to mention, isn't it ironic that a conservative persona television show that comes back, which is Roseanne, is actually getting a surge in TV ratings? Isn't it interesting that because there's just been such a lack of conservative shows on TV, that as soon as they put one on there, it just spikes interest in ratings? I don't think it's a coincidence, folks. I really don't. And so anyway, I also want to be talking about this hyperbole is how some people pronounce it, on repealing the Second Amendment and the lack of pointing to a codified process. I know Trump and some Legislators have, you know, gone back and forth, have tried to repeal this. And to me, the fact that they are completely ignorant or completely ignoring, which means ignorant, they are ignoring the codified process within the Constitution, which means, hey, you know, Congress, we need to actually write a an amendment to the Constitution, because you just don't repeal it by consensus and vote. That's what they've been doing, folks. That's how they created the HUE back in 1953. That's how they created the Department of Interior back in 1849. They've been using consensus and vote instead of amending the Constitution. How important are your liberties, and how important is saving the Constitution to you? Well, then we have to hold them accountable to the Constitution. That's the bare minimum. If we're not doing that, then don't be surprised when we lose our liberties and our sovereignty. And don't be, you know, don't think, as I said yesterday or the day before, that, you know, all the guns and ammo that you may have will be able to, you know, quell the jealousies and desires of those who want to rule you. They're not going to allow those who will not comply. Now, you can go off the grid and you can run and hide, but that will only last so long. And so I wish everyone the best in being able to stay off the grid and nonconformance. But I have to tell you, I don't see that you're going to win the war. Not with the way technology has been and how they have advanced in being able to gather intelligence and be able to surgically strike targets and so forth. I mean, look at what they're doing with drones now. I mean, once the Constitution gets discarded, once they put it aside again, then I am telling you that there is not a lot of hope. I also find it interesting that there's this huge fervor and fury about the NRA foreign funds that it's received. And it just seems like the mass media has not even played to, you know, the conservative side over the years. We've been yelling about Planned Parenthood funds and the fact that they're heavily involved in government and in buying elections and so forth. And so really? I mean, there's a huge contrast between what the NRA does and what Planned Parenthood does. NRA protects lives, and Planned Parenthood is designed to kill lives. Interesting. It's a paradox again. And that's how the narrative is being managed and maintained. And we are being managed and manipulated. There's no evidence that proves otherwise. Also, there is, you know, it's been too long since we've had a Ferguson, and it's been too long since we've had, you know, the Florida Trayvon Martin and so forth. And it just seems like, well, we're due for more social justice. And it seems like there's this demand for social justice in Sacramento now. And, you know, I don't believe this case is anything like the other cases. I haven't looked into all the facts, but I'm interested in how this is going to play out over the next few months and maybe years, because there is a concern whether we are seeking justice by dictum and just due to the fact that, this person was of this race or this ethnicity or this culture or what have you, and it doesn't matter if there was full justification or not, or well, however the facts play out, it doesn't matter. There, you know, heads have to roll, because that's what social justice is. You've heard my promo on it. It is about the redistribution of wealth as well as outcome. And so those social justice warriors are going to seek their social justice, because that's their job. That's why they're warriors. Really quick, there are a few more thoughts on Facebook, Google, and Twitter. As these companies have not only been caught recently in doing bad things, they have been caught trying to engineer thoughts and outcomes. To me, folks, that's evil. That is the essence of evil. And there was a recent news article that came out from a live person who works at Google, who basically confessed to being a Google bot in functioning in multiple
what do you want to call that? Multiple personalities, multiple accounts that Google and he and this team of Google bots have in trying to manipulate Twitter and trying to manipulate people's outcomes and so forth. So what they do is they just go out and they obviously have some very sophisticated software and tools that they use in playing with what is being liked so that they can move trends towards a certain way. And because there's just so few people that really understand and have the ability to critically think, they are literally allowing, well, if everybody else feels that way, I guess I must too. And so I can't believe that they can even do this, but they are, and they're actually having an influence. And to me, that is evil, especially in the direction that they're trying to take us. They want to take us into slavery. They want to protect their bottom line because they're afraid of competitors. That's why I have nothing to do with Google anymore, unless I absolutely, absolutely have to. I try to stay away from, you know, Google searches. I use DuckDuckGo. If you haven't heard of that, then use DuckDuckGo because they don't force advertisements at you. It is a great alternative, and they're not collecting your data. They are clearly a privacy search engine, and I would highly recommend them. There's one more thing. There's also some talk about gerrymandering, and I find it interesting. For Maryland, they're talking about how they're trying to redo the lines. And I find it interesting that the states and the people of the states are allowing them to manipulate outcomes by using population, because again, that is a democratic form of government in doing that. What they should be doing is using the county lines instead of population. If you have enough people in the county to be represented by two people and the outliers, then they should be strictly managing by county line, because people definitely vote in the advantages for their county versus the other counties and so forth. I see it all the time in California. I've seen it in Washington. I've seen it in plenty of states where the population centers within certain counties will always vote for the benefit of themselves at the expense of others. And they're literally trying to subjugate others into their paradigm. And so that's what we've been dealing with. And our framers had no intent in creating a system that was designed to create an advantage for one set of group of people or their paradigm versus the other. That is why they set up a Republican form of government within each state, because obviously population centers have different ideas than agricultural, manufacturing, and so forth areas. And so we need to get back to that so that we don't allow population centers to dominate with the mob rule mentality of 50% plus one. I wanted to get into another quote from the Virginia ratification debates. I covered Madison yesterday. I have Mr. Lee of Westmoreland that I want to quote, but I see that I'm coming up on a hard break soon. So before I go into break, let me just say this, and when we come back, I'll go into this quote. As I go through every single one of these quotes, comments, and citations, I have to ask you, are the authors, are the framers, and is their intent one of to deceive and to be deceitful? Because that what they say is in direct conflict of what we read in today's history books and in today's curriculum and so forth. And what we hear from professors, progressive politicians, lawyers, and so forth. And so who is it that's being deceitful? Were the framers being deceitful? Or are we getting the deceit from all of these who've been manipulating our education and are trying to manipulate our government? And so I'll let you smoke on that one while we have a few words from our sponsors. And I will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. This is GR Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth. And many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states, in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so let me jump straight into what Mr. Lee of Westmoreland said during the ratification debates. And I believe this was also June 6th, 1788. I say that this new system shows, in stronger terms than words could declare, that the liberties of the people are secure. He's talking about the Constitution. It goes on the principle that all power is in the people, and that rulers have no powers but what are enumerated in that paper. When a question arises with respect to the legality of any power exercised or assumed by Congress, it is plain on the side of governed. It is an enumerated constitution. If it be legal and just, it is otherwise arbitrary and unconstitutional. Candor must confess that it is indefinitely more attentive to the liberties of the people than any government. Now, this was the comment being made in the need of having a Bill of Rights, because, again, where in the Constitution did the religion or marriage or anything of those religious and cultural natures even exist? It did not. And so the fact that the federal government can even claim any assertion or jurisdiction or authority over those types of things would have been absurd, because if it's not enumerated, as he says, in that paper or in the contract, then the federal government would be usurping and assuming, and it would be unauthorized and illegal. He went on and said that under the state governments, the people reserved to themselves certain enumerated rights, and that the rest were vested in their rulers, that consequently the powers reserved to the people were but an inconsiderable exception from what we were given to their rulers, but that in the federal government, the rulers of the people were vested with certain defined powers, and that what were not delayed or delegated to those rulers were retained by the people. So even in the state constitutions, what wasn't delegated to the state government is retained by us, the people. The consequence of this, he said, was that the limited powers were only an exception to those which rested in the people, and that they knew what they had given up and could be in no danger, or what they had given up and could be in no danger. He exemplified the proposition in a familiar manner. He observed that if a man delegated certain powers to an agent, it would be an insult upon common sense to suppose that that agent could legally transact any business for his principal, which was not contained in the commission whereby the powers were delegated. But that if a man empowered his representative or agent to transact all his business except under certain enumerated parts, the clear result was that the agent could lawfully transact every possible part of his principal's business except the enumerated parts, and added that these plain propositions were sufficient to demonstrate the inutility and folly of a Bill of Rights. As I was saying, he was all talking about the Bill of Rights. But let me use my old metaphor that I like to use on this. And I use it in context to a landscaper. And let's say you have property and you have a nice big yard, and you've got the affluence or the money to do this. And so you contract with a landscaper, and that landscaper, you pull him in and say, I want you to make my yard the most beautiful yard in all the neighborhood. And I don't care what it costs or what you have to do, you make my yard the most beautiful. And so you go to work the next day and you live alone, and you come home and you come into your house and you find that all your furnishings and everything in your home has been removed. And all you find inside your house is all the equipment, fuel, and utilities and everything else necessary for landscaping. And then you look in your backyard and there's your TV, entertainment system, and furnishings, and all of that is literally in your backyard. And so you call your landscaper and say, what the heck are you doing? And the landscaper clearly says, in the contract you gave me, you said I could do anything necessary to make your yard the most beautiful. Did the framers give us that kind of an ambiguous contract? I'm afraid not, my friends. And as a matter of fact, that's why they enumerated very specific powers. And that's why during the contract debates, they clearly said this is all they can do. And that's why when they tried to create a Department of Transportation in 1817, Madison vetoed it and says, you have to amend the Constitution if you want to create a new role or power that is not clearly in the Constitution. Is education, is energy, is health and housing, is justice clearly, if you read the Jefferson's the Jefferson's resolution as well as Madison's resolutions, the federal government only has the ability to go after three types of crimes. And the fact that they have the FDA, they have all of these instruments of claiming what drugs are legal, what drugs aren't legal. And there is no amendment, my friends, in the Constitution that gives them this power. What's it going to take? How many times do we need to go through this before you really start getting motivated and the epiphany happens? It goes, you know what? This is not the government we're supposed to have. The states have to take these powers back. And the only way to do that, my friends, is Republic Review. And that's why if you watch, if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and watch that video where I talk about the problem and the solution, you will clearly understand precisely what needs to be done. I only have a few minutes left, so I am writing an article that I am posting on the Mobius Strip Press page, and right now I'm in Facebook jail, so I can't necessarily share it to other pages, but I'll probably go into jail again when I start sharing this. But this article is about, and it's in response to a local GOP chair that basically kind of made a post that we are laser focused on winning elections. And I'm going, well, hold it. If you understand the importance of winning an election, did you really win an election if you put a crappy candidate in? If you put somebody in that is not going to adhere to the contract? What's the difference between their non-compliant contract holder to our non-compliant contract holder? It seems to me that the focus then is on party and having control over those individuals than it is securing our individual liberty and our individual sovereignty. And as a matter of fact, they call it a Pyrrhic victory, if you understand that even though you may have won the election, you've truly lost the war, because we are not protecting that instrument that is most precious and dear. And so I get into why that instrument is so precious and dear and why, as patriots, we have a responsibility in protecting that and actually restoring it to its original form. There is a process of doing that. And of course, you might think that I know what that process is, and I do. And I want you to know what that process is, too. It's called Republic Review. And what is Republic Review? It is the assertion of the contractual stakeholders. And the contractual stakeholders are the states. Go read Article 7 of the Constitution. And clearly, Article 7 points out that the Constitution, that document itself, is a contract because it is stating that it must be ratified. The ratification process is a formal acceptance of a contract. And in Article 7, it states who has to ratify it. It's not we the people. And as a matter of fact, Madison talked about that at the ratification debates. It is we the people of the sovereign states. It is the sovereign states who have the authority over that contract. That's why they did it that way, to keep it from becoming a democracy. Those words in the front of this document that say we the people were style changes. It was we the people of the several states. That's why it's a republic and not a democracy. And that's why Article 4, Section 4 guarantees that every state be a republican in form. That these men were brilliantly incited by the divine hand of providence to recognize two separate sovereigns, the people and the sub-element of government who is governing the people at the lowest level. And so inside the states, that is the counties to the states. So it is the counties that are a constituent in the legislative body as well as the people. Just like in the federal constitution and in the federal government or in our general government, the states are that sub-element government of people, and the people are the other constituents. So you have the states as one constituent and the people as one. And so I know I kind of go over this, but I want you to read this article I'm going to be posting on the Mobius Strip Press page. So again, you may want to go and like that as well as share that with yours, because all the different pages and groups that you happen to subscribe to. And the reason I say that is because I think this information is being lost in the narrative of putting party over the Constitution. And we've got to stop doing that, folks. We've got to start putting the Constitution first and getting the party to conform to it, getting the people to conform to it, and more importantly, getting those who govern us to conform to it. And if they don't, we need to replace them. This is G.R. Mobley. This is Reclaiming the Republic. And I will tell you, with your help and a little bit of your own time in learning, there's no doubt in my mind, together, you and I, we will be reclaiming the Republic. And it won't take long, and it won't take that much money. I can assure you of that. But with that, I will be back tomorrow, and have a good evening.